Let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 1. Matthew, chapter 28, verse 1. The resurrection of Christ is so foundational to Christianity. Amen. If we didn't have a risen Savior, if we didn't have an exalted Lord, if we didn't have a Savior that has had authority over death, then we would have no eternal life awaiting us. But He did arise from the dead, and therefore we do have someone in authority to give eternal life. Praise the Lord. Let's notice the Word of God, Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the great truth, Lord, that we have today of your resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures, Lord, that stand behind the inspired word of God to tell us, Lord, that you not only died for our sins according to the scriptures, but you rose again the third day. We believe, Lord, that you're alive and well. Believe that you're present here with us today. May your anointing be upon the word of God today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. The title of the message today will not surprise you. The Risen Christ. Okay, here we go. But there is nothing in the history of planet Earth that can equal what happened the day when Jesus rose from the dead. And people seem to avoid the reality that they will one day pass from this life and enter eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. And it's my life, aim, and desire to see as many people know about heaven and Jesus and can be saved, amen, so that heaven will be more populated than hell. Praise God. I'm glad there is such a thing that God has made, and the reality is that God did send his Son to this world to die for our sins and pay the death penalty for our sins on the cross, but he didn't stop there. Jesus rose again from the dead to conquer death completely. The last enemy to be conquered is death, the Bible tells us. And so Jesus rose again from the dead, and he had the authority to lay down his life and the authority to take it again, which he did, both. Amen. And so there's people that mock at an afterlife, but eternity will be the reality for all of us. In all God's dealing with humanity, he showed his abundance, mercy, and grace to provide a way that mankind could have his sin, debt of sin paid for, and therefore not be judged for his own sins, but Jesus was judged at the cross for our sins. Whoever will accept that can have his sins forgiven, that eternal life would be offered to him, to all who will turn to him in faith. So we know that Jesus not only died for our sins, and we don't want to stop there. We're not going to leave Jesus on that cross. Yes, he died the most horrible death that a person could die, and the most suffering and painful death that anyone could suffer for humanity, because he did it for our sins, not for his own, because he didn't have any, but for our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. So we know that he took our place on Calvary's tree so that we wouldn't have to pay the death penalty for our sins. But he didn't stop there. He rose again from the dead in order to have the authority to give eternal life to whosoever will. Praise God. And so he's full of mercy, full of grace, full of abundance. And so I'm glad that God did what he did for us, and he did all for humanity. And therefore, we don't have to be judged for our sins, but can have our sins forgiven. Eternal life will be offered to all who turn to him in faith. And this time of the resurrection would be a time of miracles manifested to make the event the greatest ever in human history. And there were a number of miracles that are associated with Calvary, that being 3 hours of darkness, which happened, and we cannot fully explain the war that went on between good and evil as Jesus conquered death and he atoned for our sins. Also, there was a miracle of a torn veil in the temple, which was woven together about 6 inches thick. 4 yoke of oxen pulling against each side could not tear it apart. But when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was torn in two from top to bottom and opened the way for any man to come in to know Christ as Savior and Lord, which in the Old Testament only the high priest was allowed to go behind that veil. But we know that we can come to God through the person of Jesus Christ. He is our high priest, one who stands between God and man, the Lord. And so also, there was an earthquake. There was an open grave. The clothes of Jesus laying where his feet had been. But the body of Jesus is gone. And the stone was rolled away. And there was an empty tomb. People today in different religions can point you to the tomb or the place where their great leader was buried. But they can't show you an empty tomb. But I can tell you today, Jesus is not there. He is risen. The tomb is empty. He's alive, true and well. He is faithful and mighty and powerful. He's the God of all the ages. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. So he's powerful. Praise the Lord. And Jesus showed himself alive after his suffering with many infallible proofs. And if we were to go in the Bible, which is what I preach, it tells of the many infallible proofs of Jesus' resurrection. The Apostle Paul would write to the church at Corinth and said, "For I delivered you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and then he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen." Notice the eyewitnesses here. He was seen by Cephas, or Peter, by the 12 disciples. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep, as in death. Not after a boring sermon. After that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen also by me, the apostle Paul, as one born out of due time, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was within me. Okay, so we know that many witnesses to the resurrection of Christ from the dead, many infallible proofs, and I can tell you today that if you're saved, you know Christ is your Savior, you are an infallible proof that God is able to change a life, to set a sinner free, and to turn him around from what he was and to make him a child of God by new birth. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this doesn't just happen just because you happen to go to church. Amen. It happens because you've had a born-again experience. You've had a personal encounter with God and asked Christ into your heart. And you've come face to face that I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. And I can't be saved unless I believe what he did on the cross was personally for me. And I can tell you he meant for it to be personally for each one of us. He loved us all. Praise God. There are many proofs of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Jesus predicted his own resurrection. The Old Testament prophesied it many years before Jesus came to the earth. The tomb was empty and the grave clothes vacant. Many people saw the resurrected Christ. The lives of the disciples were revolutionized. The resurrection was central to the message of the early church. Men and women today testify that the power of the risen Christ has transformed their lives. We know there's proof of the resurrection of Christ from the dead without question. Thank God for that. And so you are proof, living proof, if you know Christ as your Savior. Amen. There's not enough room on this pulpit. Anyway, praise God. Amen. There's people that would joke about, people do joke about the life after and people think it's foolishness to think about a hereafter. And they think it's just mind over matter. In fact, if you don't have a mind, it doesn't really matter. But it is true that Jesus is alive and true and well and real. And it's not just a matter of people thinking a certain thing. But I can tell you all across this land today and all across the world, the resurrection of Christ is being preached and taught, and there's believers coming to Christ. There's people having their lives changed, and they without question many infallible proofs that Jesus is alive today and well and real. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we find here that that Jesus not only rose from the dead, but he would declare in one particular place, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. He would personalize this and say that's who he was. Not that just some wonderful, miraculous thing happened long ago, but Jesus would said, I am the resurrection and the life. Many wanted to stone him and kill him because he claimed to be the I am of the book of Exodus that God revealed himself to Moses. But he said, I am in many different places. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Hallelujah. So he is the resurrection and the life today. I believe it would be safe to say that Jesus would say, I am the only hope. Because you see, hope must go beyond this life. A chief cardiologist by the name of Maurice Rawlings back in the 70s, and he began to see that people had these stories after he had resuscitated them to life. And many of them had stories. He'd heard all of his life that, you know, that Jesus appears to people right after they die. Or while they're dying. And he began to notice these stories, and he'd already always heard the good side of things. Then he wrote a book and said that as many go to hell as go to heaven, because he began to record their stories. And after hearing count after count of their stories, eventually he became a believer because of that, what he heard. And so he began to talk about the close encounters that people had of another kind, another world. Of course, you and I as believers, we don't need somebody to tell us that Jesus is alive, or that there's an afterlife, or there's a hereafter. But we know that the Bible tells us that. God tells us that. Jesus, without question, talked about an afterlife, both the good and the bad, both the evil side and the good side. Christ, of course, being the good side. Praise the Lord. And it's God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not all will, but it's God's will for people to. And so we find that not only is Jesus the resurrection, he's also the only hope there is. Hope must be gone, go beyond this life. In 1 Corinthians 15, which the whole chapter deals with the resurrection, verse 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all people most miserable. And if we live here and that's all there is to it, and you just get old and creaky and you can't walk as good as you used to, and you can't talk as good as you used to, that'd be a blessing for some people. But you can't hear as good as you you can't hear as good as you used to, and you forget things. You go from one room to the next and you believe in the hereafter, but you forget what you're here after. Okay, let me move on seriously. But if in this life only, 1 Corinthians 15 and 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most to be pitied or miserable. Does hope really depend on what mankind can produce? Mankind has inventions, has new things, but they're all temporary. They all pass away. That's the reason you always hear in new commercials. People's always some invented some real thing that's supposed to change your life forever. It won't, but they claim it will. And so does hope, what hope does society or this life really have to offer? It has what it has to offer, it's very temporary. And for God is eternal. You know, is religion by itself is anything to offer? No. The world is full of religions. Religion is simply man's search for God. And it's found, truly, man's search ends with Christ. Because Christ is not just a religion. It is a relationship with the Almighty, provided for by one man, Christ, forever. Amen. What does the world have to offer as far as hope goes? You know, religion, money, fame, gambling. Amen. Anything lasting or eternal? What if you've got $1 million life insurance policy? Yeah, but you got to die to get it. Amen. There's an old saying that says, he who dies having many toys still dies. But many commit suicide because they think they have nothing to live for. But I want to tell you something, friend. You and I, as the Church of the Living God, we have something and someone to live for. We have an eternity to spend with our resurrected, risen, exalted Christ to the right hand of the Father. We have every reason to live. We have a purpose for living. God has a plan and purpose for our lives. We're not here by accident. God planted us here. God placed us here. And God's intention for us to spend eternity with the Creator. Hallelujah. Blessed hope came with Christ. His death, his burial, his resurrection is foundational to the gospel. You can't leave any of that out. But hope comes with Christ when he's resurrected from the dead, because the thing that people fear most of all is dying. People, lost people, may say that they don't fear dying. They usually say that when they're sober. But when it comes down to it, there's the fear of death in everyone, or the fear of the unknown, so to speak. And I'm born again. I fully believe in Jesus Christ. Believe I'm saved. Believe I will enter heaven when I leave this world. But I don't look forward to the process of dying, if there is one, many times. But here we have that a particular woman that Jesus talked to and delivered from 7 demons. Her name was Mary Magdalene. And she was completely lost and without God, and she was controlled by evil spirits. She wasn't just playing the lottery. She wasn't just looking at her daily horoscope. But she was fully possessed by 7 demonic spirits. She came to Jesus, and Jesus delivered her from all of the evil spirits, cast them out, showing that he had authority to drive out demonic forces. He still does. And she was converted, but she became proof of Jesus' resurrection. And she was the first to announce that Jesus is risen from the dead. And so important was this, you got to understand that in that time and day, they didn't pay any attention to Oprah or Hillary. They, thank God. Anyway, they did not consider women to be equal with mankind. They wouldn't have fit in our society. But let me tell you something. God sees all people the same. And that's what matters. And here Mary Magdalene, a woman, first announced the resurrection, the greatest event in human history, announced the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And this is recorded in all 4 of the first books of the New Testament. The first 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Mary Magdalene. Amen. This woman that had been wild and ungodly before she was converted, but I tell you, she was not wild or ungodly anymore. She had a connection with Jesus, a touch from God. She was changed, born again of God's Spirit, and she announced this Jesus that we've been talking about and living and hearing his words. He's not dead, but he is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. God thought it important enough to put a woman's testimony 4 times in the New Testament. Praise God. God today. But in a world today, there's still hope, real hope, a wonderful hope, a blessed hope. Hope is not just something that you expect something good to happen eventually. It is something that is very planted there that you know it will happen. And God puts that hope within every born-again believer. Not only would Jesus be the only hope, he would say, I am the conqueror of death. The Bible tells us death is the last enemy to be conquered. And it will be. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It tells us there in the scriptures, verse 51. You know, the apostle, the writer here says, and sheds some light on us here. And this is, we attribute these verses to the rapture of the church, which I believe in. Could happen any time. But he said, behold, I tell you a mystery, something that was not formerly revealed to people, but through God and through the anointing, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep as in death, But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, imperishable, better. And we shall be changed, for this perishable must put on imperishability. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. My friend, that's the reason when you go to a funeral of somebody that's lived for God, yes, their body is dead, but their spirit has departed from that body and is with Jesus immediately. Amen. There's hope even in death, because Christ, when he died on the cross, rose again from the dead. He conquered death. Amen. He took the sting out of death. Praise the Lord. And it says, his, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. The Old Testament law made everybody guilty. And so death stings to the unbeliever. But to the born-again Christian, the sting of death is pulled out. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, he's speaking to us today, be steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. So we have a wonderful hope. And Jesus conquered death on the cross and in his resurrection. Praise the Lord. And God gives a guaranteed eternal things. I'm glad for the idea of eternal life. Something that's unending, that will never end. And we are created, God created us to have body, soul, and spirit. And you will exist forever somewhere eternally. And the choice is up to us as whether we choose what Christ did on the cross and ask him to forgive our sins and come into our heart, or else we avoid that completely and turn away from God and be lost forever. It's too bad. We can't do that. We can, but we don't want to. And so, the book of Isaiah chapter 57, there's a scripture there that brings great light, I believe, on eternity. And, you know, we always hear about the good side, you know, that Jesus is going to come to you when you die and everything's going to be okay regardless of what ungodly life you lived before and if you never repented or not. No, that's not true. If we repent and give our heart to Jesus, then we can have eternal hope and we can think, I'm headed for a heaven that God is preparing for us. Praise the Lord for that. But if not, let's see what the scripture says about it. Isaiah 57:20 says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Because you see, the wicked are like a troubled sea that's always searching for something. And when the waves of the sea quit rolling, there's always another wave behind and another wave behind. And it produces nothing, really. And it says, there is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. It would be an awful thing to enter into eternity with no peace whatsoever of where you're going to spend forever. And so that's the reason Jesus comes, to give eternal hope, eternal forgiveness, eternal restoration, lasting work of redemption, not temporary but eternal. And God did this by giving man a second birth. And there was a man in the New Testament that was puzzled, confused by that. Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But it's a spiritual birth coming through faith. And the church at Rome had understood this. Paul had made it clear to the church at Rome. He said, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we become children of God. If children, then heirs. Heirs and joint heirs with Christ, meaning a heavenly inheritance forever with God. Amen. The Apostle Peter makes this very clear in 1 Peter 1:3, where he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his abundant mercy, he has begotten us unto a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. He has given us birth unto a lot of things here, to a living hope, not a dead hope, but a living hope. Not a dead religion, no, not a dead this or that, but to a living hope, praise the Lord. By the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. Amen. Not only we die, but we inherit eternal life, and we inherit a heaven, amen, where there's neither sorrow, death, suffering, or pain. Amen. None of the former things will even be remembered. Hallelujah. It'll be a wonderful thing that God, Jesus said, I'd let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, not maybe, not perhaps, but he said, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. My friend, the creator of all the ends of the earth, he wishes you to spend eternity with him. This is not a fairy tale. It's not a made-up story. It's a truth of Scripture. God said it. Amen. It settled it. Praise the Lord. And it says that this inheritance and this hope does not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Last of all, not only is Jesus the resurrection and the life, the only hope, the conqueror of death, the giver of eternal hope, but it says in Scripture that he's a returning king. Jesus said, I am coming again. I am returning. In full authority, in full power, full glory, Jesus said, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:18. Yet Jesus in his earthly life still, in his life today, had authority over every sin, over every sickness, ailment, disease, deformity, demon possession. He had authority over all things. I want to tell you, we serve a God who's all powerful, all knowing, all present. He is the mighty God that we serve. He is a resurrected Christ. And he'll return in resurrection power one day. There will be not only the resurrection of Christ from the dead, but also of those who have gone on before, those who have died physically. Because when you die physically, the spirit person, the life that's in you, departs from that body to be with Jesus immediately. That's the reason that Jesus said at his crucifixion, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And there's a number of, if you're hung up on the soul sleep thing, God help you. But I believe that when you die physically, I believe from Scripture, that your spirit man departs from your body, the born again part of you, to be with Jesus immediately. But there will come a time when we will be resurrected bodily as Jesus was. Amen. Be with Jesus now, but when he returns, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. He is a returning Jesus, resurrected, powerful, returning Jesus. Let's ask ourselves the question, if I should die today, and some will, some your age, some my age, and it will be me, and it'll be you one day, pointed unto the man wants to die. If it should be me or you today or now, is there any eternal hope, peace, or love for you? Is there a place in God's eternity for you? I want to tell you, it's God's will for you to repent and to come to him, acknowledge what he did on the cross was for you, and God will save you as he did me. Amen. Because all are lost until saved. And I was lost until I was saved. Praise God. But I know today that I'm born again. I'm way to heaven. Not because I'm somebody special. I'm just one of millions that God has transformed and turned around and got me headed the right direction. And you can be saved too. Do you really have peace concerning your eternal soul? Think about it for just a moment. If it were today, if it were now, and I had no opportunity to do anything else, am I really ready to meet God now? Amen.